Farewell and adieu to you fair Spanish ladies. Farewell and adieu, you ladies of Spain. For we've received orders for to sail back to Boston. And so nevermore shall we see you again.
You're watching the podcastle on Shark Week, and first guest needs no introduction. Welcome back, Gabe DiSaverio of The Spicy Shark. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. I'm happy to be here. Shark Week and Shark Con are on the horizon, so life is good and exciting.
Life is good and exciting, and Shark Con is in 5 days, I think, if my memory... Six days.
My setup is on Friday, so I'll be setting up 5 days from now, and the actual event is on Saturday and Sunday of next week. In sunny Tampa, Florida, we will thankfully be indoors because the event, everyone's like, you're doing a big event in Florida in July. I'm like, it's inside. There's air conditioning. They don't have an air conditioner for the vendors during the setup day. So I will say that, Friday is tough. But yes, otherwise it's fantastic in air conditioning. And I encourage everyone to go to it.
And you can go to sharkcon.com and check it out. They actually have some products. I was checking out the website. They're selling a lot of Jaws 3D merch and some Leah Thompson, because she's going to be there, some meet and greet. I'm looking for the Spicy Shark meet and greets, because I think people would pay to meet you, Gabe. You're kind of in that sphere now. I'm not saying you were obviously in the movie Jaws, but I feel like you were now at this point from knowing you so long, because Gabe owns the 75 Chevy Blazer?
1975 Chevy Blazer.
I'm sorry, which of course was the car that Chief Brody had in the original Jaws in 1975. And it was a 75, right?
It was a 75. The movie was made in 74. So, of course, you know, that next year is always out in advance. But it was a 75. I've got a 75, same color, totally remodeled to look identical to it. So that is my pride and joy. And it was funny before I bought it, because it was in a car auction, and you know, those completely remodeled, you know, they're out of my price range. But this one was in a car auction, so I remember I talked to my wife before I went to go bid on it. Obviously, it wasn't all Jaws'd out. It, you know, it was just in its natural form. And I was like, you know, I really want to do this. And I was like, you know, this is what I'm thinking. I'm willing to spend as my high bid. You know, basically seeking approval for that. And I thought there would be like a look and maybe some discussion. And all she said was, she goes, you know, you work 8 days a week, you have no toys, and you've been talking about buying this car since our third date. So go for it. And I was like, awesome.
Yes.
It was like the greatest go for it you could get. So I did and bid on it. And there were, I think, like 8 of us bidding at the start, and this was at a GAA classic car auction in Greensboro, North Carolina.
Right.
And it came down to me and one other guy, and then my final bid, you know, my high bid was my final bid, and that won it, thank God, because I was like, here we go, this is it. And he didn't
know, so sweaty.
Yeah, and I was like, I was shaking. So I flew down to Greensboro, and they quoted me something crazy to trailer it up to New Hampshire. I'm like, after what I just paid, I'm not going to pay another $2,000. So I was like, it was during the beginning of COVID. So like a flight to North Carolina was like $40. So I was like, whatever.
Yeah.
So I flew down and drove that poor thing 800 miles up to New Hampshire. Thank God he made it. And spent that whole summer remodeling it to look identical to Brody's and Jaws. And, unfortunately, it's been raining so damn much over here. I don't know how the weather's been by you, but it's been, we had 26 days of rain in June. So the poor thing's had a cover on it and hasn't gotten the miles I want on it. But what are you gonna
do? Now, I was thinking about that the other day. I was like, I wonder how often Gabe is taking out that truck. And you mentioned that story before about what your wife said. And I always thought that was so cool. And I've retold that story like 3 times. You're kind of my go-to when Jaws comes out, because I'm a big Jaws fan too. I said, it's Jaws week. You know, like last week I was saying to my coworkers, it's Jaws week. Happy Jaws week. And they're kind of like, what? And I said, a lot of my friends are, you know, we're big Jaws fans. And I told the story about you getting that truck, which is awesome. But I think it's even cooler that your wife was like, you know, you work 8 days a week, you can talk about this, just do it. Like, go get it. You know, like, what a cool, awesome wife. And it's like,
yeah, she was great on that one. So she got
so cool.
Massive points. Not that she needed them, but lots of
extra. Right, of course. Not that she needed, but that's awesome. So we're talking about Shark Con being inside, but we need to talk about an event that will be outside. And I wanted to crowbar this in, but this is your event. This is the second annual New England Hot Sauce Fest, and this is on the 29th of July.
Yep. Saturday, July 29th, last Saturday of July at the one and only Smutty Nose Brewery in beautiful Hampton, New Hampshire, which is less than an hour from Boston. And yeah, it was a wild success last year, like more than we could have ever imagined. We had 2,500 people. We raised over $4,000 for each of our two nonprofit beneficiaries, which was the Blue Ocean Society and Seacoast Science Center, which are two local ocean conservation organizations that they both do their own thing that are different, but the similarity between the two is really teaching the younger generations about the importance of respecting and treating our oceans well and treating the animals in the oceans well. So totally in line with what I care about and what the Spicy Shark is about. So they were great. Definitely. In getting people to go too, and it was great. So, you know, it was kind of a test run, and we said we're doing it again, and we've got 35 Northeast hot sauce companies. It's really a showcase of Northeast hot sauce companies. So we have 35. We've got 10 food trucks, and it's super
nice,
family friendly. Like, this is an event that ends at 5 o'clock. We got bouncy houses, face painting. So it's definitely for the whole family. There's certainly beers there for people who want to have a couple beers. And yeah, we've got a lot of hot pepper eating contests. We've got the guys who run Heat 101, Bella and Dark. They're our MCs. And we've got a pretty incredible hot pepper contest as the headliner. Like, we have a bunch of contests, but the headliner, like last year, the headliner was Mike Jack, who came down from Canada to try to break the all-time record for most Carolina Reaper peppers eaten. He broke his record.
That's wild. Awesome.
He broke his own record. He ate 65, which for a normal person.
How are you not dead?
Yeah, I know, exactly. Like, if I ate one Reaper, which I have, you're kind of done for the day, right?
And I'm yeah, a chili yeah, for fan, sure.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just a whole nother level. So he broke his own record. And I said, how are we going to top this? That was a pretty awesome contest, yeah. Right? And we had a lot of publicity about it. And so Ed Curry, who owns Pucker Butt Pepper Company, the greatest name there is, down in South Carolina, he's the creator of the Carolina Reaper. Like, he literally created it. It's a hybrid crossbred pepper.
Oh,
he created
okay.
it. So he has created a hotter pepper since then, which, not unless you're in the chili head community, you might not know about it, but it's called Pepper X. So Pepper X is actually hotter than the Carolina Reaper pepper. And but unlike the Carolina Reaper, he hasn't put this everywhere where anyone can buy it and you can grow your own Reapers. Like, he's kept it totally in-house, and you can only get Pepper X through a couple of his hot sauces that he makes with it, or through the dual chips. So picture a potato chip that's completely covered and coated in Pepper X pepper powder.
Oh, wow.
So we've got these dual chips, and we've got six hot sauce celebrities that are competitive eaters, including Mike Jack coming back from Canada.
Whoa.
And they're going to literally duel it out to who can eat the most of these Pepper X dual chips in an hour on stage, and who can break the record of the most dual chips ever eaten. So there will be vomit. There'll be like just the right amount of vomit.
Oh,
like,
yeah, just the right amount.
Just the right amount.
Some know, vomit Canada. We expected. Not a yeah, lot, but yeah, some, yeah, the right amount. Yeah, exactly. That is so cool. Are you going to film this? Are they going to put this on YouTube?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yep. Yeah. It'll be, I'm sure it'll be on the Heat 101 channel. We're going to try to upload it onto New England Hot Sauce Fest.com and on social media. And but if anyone lives within a few hours of Hampton, New Hampshire, they should come by.
Please come by. And there are tickets. The website is, I'm Matt Clark, and I have all the facts. It is
it is NewEnglandHotSauceFest.com.
Okay.
And social and there, media is at New England Hot Sauce Fest. So easy and the same.
And there are still some tickets left. I saw you guys post on social media. There's still some VIP tickets left, which the VIP tickets are just a little bit more than the regular. It looks like the VIP tickets are $15, and you get 1 hour early access to the event, which to me is like a win-win. $15, you get there early. There's not as many people. If you know, you like a smaller crowd kind of feel. Is that, am I right about
yeah,
that?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. So we're capping the VIP, and we have less than 100 VIP tickets left. Those are selling really well. So we're almost out of those. We do still have regular general admission tickets. And it's exactly what you said. Hour early to beat the crowds, better chance of parking right nearby. We do have shuttle buses for the other parking lots for regular tickets. Wow. And it's only $4 more. And again, it's for two great, you know, nonprofit causes. And yes, you do get to beat the crowds, which is great. I mean, it's a big field. There's never going to be a point where your elbow to elbow are uncomfortable. But, you know, there won't be the lines that there'll be once it opens up at 11.
Right. I got to hand it to you as well. I mean, there's so many people that put on events or think they can put on events. And for you to do that and have it be successful in a market like Hot Sauce, and to do it for, you know, not only include nonprofits for a good cause, but have it be so successful and fun is a very hard thing to do. So, I mean, you're going places, brother. I got to, like, hats off to you. That is just congratulations. I mean, it's just amazing that everything you've done with Spicy Shark and with the Hot Sauce Fest. I mean, it's just, you're such a good dude. So hats off to you.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
I did buy this Friday. I don't know if you can see it. I don't know if you're a Red Sox fan, but
I am a Red Sox fan.
I got my Red Sox ice cream.
Now, did you have a sundae out of that?
Well,
you buy it without an ice cream sundae?
Oh, I bought it without an ice cream sundae. I bought it. It was at a baseball card store and they just had one just sitting up there. And it was like a sign. It was like, Gabe's coming on this weekend. I do have a bunch of these hats. I do not have a Red Sox one. So I was like, I'm going to get it. And I took a bet that you were a Sox fan. Yep. And I'm glad that you are.
Yep. I had one of those. I don't know where it is now, but it definitely was from Dairy Queen.
Yeah.
I had a sundae in it.
So good.
Before I had it. Yes.
Life-changing hack. I got to mention, I'm drinking some coffee now. And ever since you gave me the hot maple syrup, I've used it every morning, and you might have thought I was joking or not, but it is a game changer. I was kind of actually getting sick of coffee. I wasn't drinking as much. It became more like a chore. I was doing like half a cup a morning. I'm like, I don't really like want this. I'm just doing it because society says that I should. But if you go to spicyshark.com, listeners and viewers, check out the hot maple syrup. You also have the blueberry, which I haven't tried yet, but the hot maple syrup and coffee.
And what's funny is you're probably one of the very few who does that. And when I talk about hot maple syrup, no one will naturally think about coffee. And there's so many things you can do with it. But that literally, the reason that idea came into my head was because of coffee. Like, I'm a very big coffee drinker. I probably drink too much coffee, but that's definitely the way I start the day and continue through the day. And so I was thinking about it one day early on when I was launching the company. I was like, you know, my cup of coffee in the morning is the only thing all day that I don't have any heat, obviously, other than the temperature of the coffee, but I don't have any heat in it.
Right,
and
right.
Everything else, I've got hot sauce or, you know, even hot honey, like everything else that I put in my mouth throughout the day has some level of hot pepper that goes with it. Right.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, why am I depriving myself of some hot pepper in the morning with my coffee? And I was thinking about it, and I already flavored my coffee with maple syrup. Like, that's how I got the sweetness for my coffee anyway.
Oh,
so,
okay.
You know, not everyone does that, but maybe it's a New England thing. I don't know if anyone in California has ever used
maple syrup. No, I like it though. I wanted to catch on here.
Yeah, but that's how I sweetened my coffee anyway, was with maple syrup. So I was like, why can't I make a hot maple syrup? So I started messing around with it. And obviously we live in the land of maple syrup here in New Hampshire. Now, I did end up landing on three different sugar houses in Vermont. So I do buy my maple syrup from these three small producers in Vermont. And so I learned all about maple syrup. At first I was just like, you know, I didn't know much about it. And I was like, oh my God, there's like six different grade A's. So I tried them all. I'm like, which one am I going to do? And I landed on grade A dark robust. And that is the darkest grade A syrup that you can buy before you get into kind of cooking grade. And the reason I picked dark robust was actually twofold. My dog's losing its mind right there. Was twofold. Number one, it on its own imparts these coffee toffee notes to it, which you don't get from like a lighter amber.
Yeah.
And then number two, it was deep and rich enough that it really, because I messed around with a lot of different syrups when I was mixing it with the habanero, and it stood up to the habanero better than the lighter and the amber. So then I just infused it with just a hint of ginger, not overpowering, just a hint of ginger for a little extra heat, and also for some flavor component, because it really goes well with maple syrup. And voila. So it's kind of a simple product as far as the number of ingredients, but And I loved it for the coffee, but we're probably like two of five people who actually, you know, use it for that. Everyone else is thinking pancakes as a glaze, you know, on ice cream, on desserts, and
yeah, craft cocktails,
right. Spicy margaritas, you know, spicy maple Manhattans. You can really do a lot with it.
Oh yeah, it's so great. And I, you know, I never thought about that before. And I was talking to a neighbor who really is a, I guess maybe even more of a chili head than I am, but I told him about the hot maple syrup in the coffee, and he was like, what? I was like, yeah, it's like a habanero in it. And he tried it and he's like, oh, this is so good. I'm like, yes, it's like a game changer. It's like a different drink altogether. So it's really, really good. And I encourage people to do it. Now, my wife's been on this blueberry coffee kick lately, like the flavor is blueberry. So I was wondering, I was going to get the blueberry coffee, but or the blueberry hot syrup, but I was like, maybe that's too much. So I got the regular. But how is the blueberry maple syrup and coffee? Is it like just as good?
So the key difference between those two products, so the blueberry maple syrup is half Maine blueberries, mm-hmm. and then half Vermont maple syrup with just a touch of lime and a touch of habanero. So it's milder. It's half Maine blueberries. The thing about the blueberry syrup is it's a little bit thicker, you know, because there's actually little pieces of, you know, we Vitamix the blueberries, but there's little pieces of blueberry that are in it. So nice. At the beginning of the pour, you'll probably just get the syrup part. But if you mix it, you are going to get kind of some pieces of it in. So it's not going to be just the pure from a consistency and a texture perspective as the hot maple. So you can, and I think that's fun in more in cocktail stuff and even in a seltzer water, but you could get some pieces of blueberry in there.
Okay, cool. They're great products though. You know, I like that you took the time with the maple syrup because you're in the mecca of where maple syrup comes from. So it's like you took your time, you did your homework, you're a craftsman. Can you tell the listeners and the viewers, I know I ask you this every show, but kind of briefly the genesis of how you created the Spicy Shark and why you gave it its name kind of thing?
Sure. Yeah, 100%. Well, number of my two favorite things in life, you know, other than my family, my daughter and everything are hot sauce and sharks. So those are the two things. I grew up in a really ethnic area with a lot of Asian and Indian people. So I was eating curries from a really young age. Like our favorite fast food place was actually called Curry in a Hurry. And nice. I don't know if it's still around or not, but such a great name. And so
is
I was
this
always
in New England area? Spicy.
No, that was actually in New York City.
Oh, okay.
And right. And so I was always eating very spicy things. I was always the guy doing the wing challenges or the guy that the friend buys the hot sauce for. Oh, I got the hot sauce friend. And, you know, I was the hot sauce friend. So nice. Then I started getting into, you know, making them. And my sister was a big part of that, too. She helped me early on with product development. And then the shark thing was I was always just a total Jaws fanatic. Since I was age 8, I wanted that blazer we were talking about earlier. Since I was 8, I was like, I one day want to drive Chief Brody's, you know, blazer.
Yeah.
Everything changed for me in regards to how it's involved with Spicy Shark in 2012. So I was on Martha's Vineyard or Amity Island in 2012 for Jaws Fest, you know, naturally. Nice. And it was the second ever Jaws Fest that they ever had. I missed the first one, regrettably, but I was at the second one. And I got to meet Wendy Benchley, who's the wife of the late Peter Benchley, who wrote Jaws. And actually, randomly, I was just on email with Wendy because she's become kind of a friend. And I let her know that I just bought in an auction a Peter Benchley signed sketch. He sketched out the shark from the Jaws.
So cool.
And he did a couple of those and he signed it and I bought it in an auction. So I let her know about it. So she was appreciative of that. But anyway, I'm doing a sidebar.
No, that's awesome. That's cool.
I got to meet her at Jaws Fest in 2012. And like I said, at the time, I was just a Jaws fanatic. Like I was actually scared of the thought of swimming with sharks or anything like that. And I talked to her. She gave me like half an hour of her time, was telling me about Shark Savers, which was the organization that she helped start with Jamie, who now has Shark Angels. And she was like, you know, over 100 million sharks are getting killed every year. I'm like, what? I have no idea about any of this. Tell me about the shark fin trade. Tell me about bycatch. I'm like telling me how to his dying day, Peter Benchley's one of his biggest regrets was writing Jaws because it led to the movie and it led to this Hollywood demonization of sharks and the media demonization, how it led to all these shark kill tournaments that we're now big advocates and trying to stop because, you know, all because of the movie Jaws and this fear and all of this just false narrative about sharks. And so he felt very regretful, which, what a tortured Spielberg existence. Too. Your biggest success, yeah, and Spielberg, your biggest success being also, you know, kind of one of your biggest regrets. So I was just blown away by all this. I immediately joined Shark Savers. You know, now it's part of Wild Aid, but and I got into scuba diving, and now I'm at the point where I, you know, proactively, I was on a bull shark dive off of Jupiter, Florida back in February. And, you know, now it's like, you know, I can't believe I was ever scared of them or didn't want to go scuba diving. And now I'll hop in with sharks. And so when I started the company in 2018, I was like, what am I going to call my hot sauce company? I was like, well, it's got to be shark related. I'm like, the spicy shark, duh.
So cool.
And I couldn't believe that it was available. You know, spicy shark was.
Yeah.
But the spicy shark was.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I got the business name, and so cool. I knew it would be kind of shark conservation themed. And so I, you know, it's like the best of both worlds. I get to play in the shark world, and I've gotten to meet all these amazing nonprofits that I work with and advocate with. And, you know, it's just, it's been awesome. But yeah, it really, if I didn't meet Wendy on, at Jaws Fest, I probably would just be just some big Jaws fan, and maybe I'd have a hot sauce company, but I don't know if it would have anything to do with sharks. Who knows? But that was a really big weekend, you know, for sure.
Oh, of course. That's such a cool story too. You know, it's not like, and this would be okay too, but it's not like, oh, I was thinking of a name and my daughter had like a toy shark and I thought, oh, that's that came to me, like something like that. It's like, no, I was talking to Wendy Benchley and I was, you know, like it's like just such a cool genesis of a name. And to your point about Peter Benchley, did she say, because I know he said he regretted it, but to his dying day, he was still very remorseful.
Yeah, he was just really torn about it. And, you know, I think what she, if I remember correctly, she had said if he knew that what would have happened, all the negative things that happened to sharks, if he knew that would have happened, he absolutely would not have written the book if he knew that those consequences would come from it.
That's what I like to impress upon people is, there's so many people, Gabe, like you and I, that we know sharks don't hurt people and Jaws is a work of fiction, but we know it's also a great movie and we can enjoy it and not, you know, enjoy it for the great cinema that it is and the acting and not take it away. And I always bring that up and people always agree, you know, Jaws kind of ruined it for the demonization of sharks and, you know, it's a blessing and a curse. And as we both know, sharks aren't like that. They're not out to kill you, but, I always felt like that was just a sad story of Peter Benchley. Like he made this monumental work of art and he like regrets it. Like that's such a, just a sad kind of tale in a way. You know
it
what
really
I mean?
Is, but you know, what's cool is now you've got important people from Jaws like Spielberg kind of like talking about this and actively saying, and you know, saying the importance of sharks and how valuable they are to our oceans and, you know, to the habitat. So it's nice to see that. And then you see an event that Spencer puts on like Shark Con, where the entire theme of this event is shark conservation, but there's always a Jaws tie-in, which is great. So this year, like you were talking about, it's Jaws 3D, which like, I love all the Jaws just because I'm such a Jaws fanatic. And obviously Jaws 3D is not the original Jaws by any stretch of the imagination.
No.
But it's still just a great entertaining movie. And so it's just cool to always have Jaws involved at Shark Con because it ties into the whole theme of the conservation as well. And everyone's really there for because they care about sharks.
Yeah, of course. And it's such a cool event. I know we're running out of time, but I wanted to get into a Jaws trivia quiz real quick.
All right. I have not prepped, but I will use this a lot of knowledge in this brain to try my best.
Okay. I created this quiz myself. I didn't like Google these. I actually, when I watched the movie again and I came up with these. Before I go though, before I ask you the quiz, I have to ask you this question. Jaws fan recently told me, and this was from, I think, an article on Screen Rant, there's a theory about Jaws 3, and that's that the great white is a megalodon. We know that's not true in the script, but don't you think that's plausible because of the size of it?
So like, what's your thoughts? What I will tell you is that the largest of the four sharks, now, Jaws, you know, in the original Jaws, they actually had three different sharks, but they're all the same size. The Jaws 3D shark was the largest. It was 35 feet. There's no such thing as a 35-foot Great White. I think Deep Blue, I think, was estimated to be 20 and still alive, 23 feet.
Yeah.
So, you know, they say great whites can get to 25. So just by the fact that the one was literally 35 feet, the, of course, mechanical shark from Jaws 3D,
right,
one could deduce that, yes, it could be a megalodon. That wasn't, I don't think, their intent in the movie to be considered. But as far as we know, there's no such thing as a great white bigger than 20, 25 feet. So if that one's 35 feet, and then actually the second biggest was the shark Brucette from Jaws 2. But Jaws 3D did have the biggest of the mechanical sharks. So
and it's so big.
I think there's reason to speculate.
Good point, right? I mean, it's too large to be a great white. It's a good theory. Obviously, the filmmakers didn't intend that. But due to the budget restraints, they weren't able to really show the size of the shark in Jaws 3 as much as they wanted to, I guess. But when you look at some of the shots in the movie to scale, it's freaking huge. I mean, 35 feet, it's like the scariest shark in any of the movies. You're like, it's massive. It's like the size of a school bus. It's crazy.
You know what's really exciting before the trivia is I made two custom t-shirts for this event. And if you know, Louis Gossett Jr.'s character, Calvin Bouchard,
of course,
just the greatest character ever. And so I've got two t-shirts. One of it says, Calvin for president, and it's his face with the flowers and everything.
Nice.
In the background. And then the other one, they're talking about how to kill the shark. And there's this big discussion about grenades and Calvin Bouchard just goes, no grenades. So I've got a no on the top, his face, and then the grenades. So
that's perfect. I gotta see pictures of this shirt. And so cheers to you for making those when you meet him. That's so cool. All right. And you'll be posting on your team, at least, will be posting on Instagram that weekend.
100%.
So we gotta check it out. So before we jump into the quiz, just check out, of course, Gabe's website, The Spicy Shark, at thespicyshark.com, on Twitter at The Spicy Shark, and Instagram at The Spicy Shark. So super easy to find. Okay, Gabriel, are you ready for the quiz, sir?
I'm ready.
10 questions.
Oh,
and
right.
Let's see. I curated these myself as a big Jaws fan. I try to make them a little bit more on the difficult side because you are an expert. So let's see how we do.
Let's do it.
Number one, sir, what date, meaning the month and day, did Alex Kittner perish, unfortunately?
Ooh, all right. It was a couple days before July 4th. Real quick, the movie came out June 20th, 1975. But
there it is.
The whole movie is leading up to July 4th weekend. Jeez. It's either probably July 1st or July 2nd. Let's say July 2nd.
That would have been my guess, but it's June 29th.
Oh, it's before.
Yeah. Because they show you in the, and this was confirmed by a lot of the Jaws websites, but they show you the date. I guess, I don't remember if it was the shark attack, the first one, and then it was the next day. I forget when it was, but it's June 29th. So.
Gotcha. Well, he's typing, when he types on the typewriter, the date, that is the date of Chrissy Watkins, that's her death when he's typing it, and he puts
who you've met before in real life,
and yes, Susan Blackliney, she's very nice, she actually lives in California on a boat, she lives on a boat in California.
Oh really? That's so cool.
Yes, she's had some twists and turns in her life, but she's very nice, and it's been nice to meet her. But one of the big, one of the errors, like if you look at all the mistakes from Jaws, one of them is, as Brody is typing in the Chrissy Watkins death on the typewriter, instead of coroner, it says corner, C-O-R-N-E-R. So that's one of the mistakes from Jaws. So
I've never picked up on that because I always watch Shark Attack when he's typing it, because I always thought that was so cool, like Shark Attack, you know?
So what I'm going to do is, if I get something wrong, corner, I'm going to immediately give you something that, you know, to keep my Jaws credentials strong.
Corner. Okay. Number two, what is the name of the Amity newspaper?
The Amity Island Gazette.
There it, who even about the island? I would have accepted Amity Gazette too, but you nailed it. All right. By the way, we're not keeping points. This is just for fun.
Absolutely. Listeners. But I'm serious.
You are serious. You're a true sharksman. Number three, what kind of business did Mrs. Taft own?
A hotel.
Yes, she did. Yes, she did.
And yes, she was not happy at all about the beaches being closed. 24 hours is like 2 weeks. But she didn't actually scream that out. That was a different lady.
It was a different lady.
Who but was she the... was famous for saying, I don't think that's funny at all.
I don't think that's funny. I don't think that's funny at all. But that's actually part of this quiz later on. We'll get to that. But I think you're going to get that one anyway. Number four is a bonus part. There's two parts to this. Okay. Which anniversary was the annual regatta? And the bonus part is, what dates did it fall on? What were the dates of the regatta?
Oh, man. Was it the 99th? I have no idea.
It was the 50th annual regatta.
Okay.
Which seems like a long time. That means if the movie was made in 74, it would have been 24. So they were doing that since the Great Depression. So the dates were kind of weird to me, but
that's a long regatta. Yeah.
I'm not an Islander, Gabe. I'm not an Islander.
It's when only an island. Islander?
Never.
Yeah. Never. It's only an island if you look from what?
Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
All right. And the second one was, what were the dates?
Yeah.
Well, damn.
Now the clue is, it's all in the billboard when they, you know, he goes, those proportions are correct. All the information is on that billboard, if that helps.
Yep. Yeah, no, it doesn't. But I mean, the fact that they were talking about, you know, closing it down, it would have had to be, I would think, the week of July 4th, but I don't know the exact dates.
July 4th through 10th.
Okay.
And to the listeners, viewers, if these questions sound obnoxious, it's because I had to do really deep dives, because I know Gabe.
No, these are good.
I can't ask questions like, what was the name of the boat that Quint did? You know, like you know everything. So I had to really get in there.
These are good.
Number five. How many times is the line, that's not funny, that's not funny at all, uttered throughout the film?
Well, geez. I mean, the famous one is Mrs. Taft saying it, you know, when they're at the city council meeting and talking about whether or not they're going to close the beaches.
Right. True.
I feel like Hooper says that's not funny at all, but I don't know if he says that's not funny, that's not funny at all. I'll go with two, but that's a good one.
Two times. You're correct.
Okay.
It's uttered later by Brody very quickly when he's talking with Hooper. He's like, that's not funny, that's not funny at all, on the docks, which I always think it's funny in movies because it's a writer that does that. The writers tend to write like themselves over and over again. So you can tell that was obviously a script decision to make. And I've never noticed it twice until I watched it again. And I've seen the movie.
Now,
you know.
are you asserting that that was intentional or coincidental?
I think it was intentional.
Interesting. Yeah.
I think it was intentional. Like, a writer knows that the same line is twice. They didn't purposely do that. Like, hey, this means something, let's crowbar it in. But that they realized it was in there twice, and they're like, just leave it in, kind of thing.
They did. You know, a cool one, just a fun fact, if you didn't know this one, is Spielberg was a huge James Bond fan. So he liked to put little things where he could. And obviously, so many movies since Jaws have put little like tidbits from Jaws into them. But if you didn't know, when they pull the Louisiana license plate out of the tiger shark, Hooper does, when they're cutting it open on the dock there, when they sneak in.
Yeah.
And the first three numbers of that Louisiana license plate are 007 for 007.
Oh,
and that
I did it.
Yeah. I was actually considering, because I've got on Marty, on my Blazer, I've got the vanity plate says Amity, but on my truck, I've got an F-150 that I'd use, you know, for business most of the time. Yeah. And I was actually considering a vanity plate that no one in the world would know is a vanity plate, with just the 007. And then
four
numbers memorized from the Louisiana plate as like a super subtle
vanity plate. Dude, I had no idea. That's amazing. Yeah. I swear I could talk to you like for a whole day and pick your brain about the Jaws trivia, you know. It's super incredible. Number six, Gabe. What was the name of the Amity? Who was the Amity Harbor Harbormaster? What was the name of that gentleman? The Amity Harbor Harbormaster.
Oh, man.
It's the gentleman with the pipe that looks like
he's got the funniest scene where he comes out of there and he just looks both ways and he doesn't say anything.
It looks like something on a an old like bay seasoning like jar, mason jar that you see in the in the cabinet.
It's the greatest. Yeah, this is one of those that I know his name like when I watch it and then I forget, but I know the his character is awesome. Just like Harry, just like Bad Hat Harry's character is.
That's some Bad Hat Harry.
Yeah, no, I'm spacing out on his name.
Frank Silva was the name of the gentleman, but you know who he is.
I do know, of course.
That's some Bad Hat Harry. Yeah. Okay, who was the original director of Jaws? Who was supposed to be the original director?
Oh, I know his name, so I'm going to make up for spacing out on his name, but the reason he got fired from being the original director is he was sitting there and they kept on questioning him on the script and on everything, and he wouldn't get it out of his head that it's a whale, and he kept saying to the producers,
really?
"Like, oh, and then the whale comes up," and they both like, you know, Zanuck looks at him and is like, you know, if he can't like distinguish a shark from a whale, then how can he direct this movie? And that was like the big hang up. Like if you watch any of the discussion about it, they keep on harping how like if he keeps on saying whale instead of shark, and then he thought that you could, and a couple of them actually thought that you could train a great white shark. That's how little they knew about great white sharks back then.
Wow.
They thought they could train one as part of, you know, part of the scene. And then obviously they couldn't even get the mechanical one to work. So a fun little fact there. That's
I had no idea.
To do. If I get something wrong, I'm going to throw another.
No, that's better. That's better. The answer is Dick Richards, but the that's amazing. I had no idea. That's quite an answer that. He kept
which is a really great
them.
Name because it's kind of like Dick Dick if you think about
Dick
it.
Dick Dick. I thought the same thing. Yeah,
that's Dick actually Dick. Now there's no way I'll ever forget it. There we go.
Dick there Dick. You go. But that's really interesting that he kept confusing it with a whale.
Yeah,
like, come on,
and they
buddy.
Just couldn't, and they fired him because of it.
That's like if you're doing Jurassic Park and they keep confusing a dinosaur with like a frog or something. It's like no. It's not that. Three questions left. Number eight is how did the mechanical shark get the name Bruce?
Ah, because Steven Spielberg's attorney's name was
there. Bruce. It is.
Yes.
Gabe knows
did
best.
Did you know that the two Cocker Spaniels that Brody had were actually Steven Spielberg's dogs?
Really?
Yes.
I knew the first one, the opening scene was his dog. I didn't realize that the other one was too.
Yep.
That's so cool.
Spielberg's Cockers.
Oh, that's so cool. You should write a book, Gabe. I feel like people would buy it. I do. Or a blog.
Well, there's a great one.
I know.
His name's Matt, and I can't remember his last name right now. It's a pretty generic name, like Matt Smith, but he wrote Jaws memoirs, and it's really awesome.
Yeah, I stumbled down that rabbit hole yesterday, but I got to check that out for sure.
It's pretty cool. And it's actually just also like, you know, like some coffee table books are just like very visually appealing and everything.
Yeah.
Like it's a really beautiful book.
Is it?
It's cheesy, but it actually is.
Oh, cool. That's good to have. This is a deep cut, okay?
All right,
really deep cut. This is the hardest question on the quiz.
Okay.
Brody's code name on the radio, you know, during the shark watching hunting scene in the beginning, all the boats are... What is his code name on the radio during the shark watching boating scene? Hendrix calls, and he's like, Hendrix to... What is the name they give Brody?
Man.
It's a really deep cut, Gabe.
Yeah, but
I've never known it until I was like...
I know the deep cuts, and then I know the stories behind the deep cuts. So now this is...
I'll give you a hint. And you know what? I tried Googling this to find the origin. I found nothing on the internet about this. But they say it in the movie, and it's in the IMDb quotes. So like I know that's what they said.
Yeah.
I'll give you a hint. It starts with a color. So like Hendrix to...
Yeah, I'm going to just say I don't know. I'm not even going to guess.
It's Red One, which is interesting. And there was nothing on the internet about it.
And you're saying that was intended as his name? It was Red One? They weren't talking about something else? Like that's
I don't know if it was intended to his name, but they say Hendrix to Red One, and Brody gets on and goes like, what is it? Or whatever his line is. So
wow.
I don't know if it was intended for him, but he definitely responds after they say Red One.
I got to be honest. I've never even thought of that one. So that's a true stumper.
Me too.
You got me on that.
Yeah, I was really digging when I was watching this. I'm like, okay,
well, that's
the radio.
Good. You know, it's
you learn stuff.
No one casually can really stump me, but these are legit ones. So I like this.
Okay,
Red
cool.
One. Now I'm gonna have to do something with Red One secretly and something. So we'll
Red One. It's like such an interesting name. And finally, number 10, Gabe of the Spicy Shark. What brand of beer does Captain Quint drink while on the Orca?
Oh my goodness. Narragansett. And
is that how you say it? I didn't know how to say it.
Narragansett. I was like, is it Narragansett? I'm gonna tell you two things in addition to that. Well, I'll throw the quiz back at you. What is the other alcoholic beverage other than Narragansett beer that is brought onto the Orca?
Apricot brandy?
Yes, very good. So that is the question. And then the stat is, so I think you know this, but I worked for, I was in the beer business for 17 years before I started the Spicy Shark. I actually worked for the Boston Beer Company, Sam Adams. And one of their products that they still make is Twisted Tea. And Twisted Tea has this back label program where there's like people, like fans of Twisted Tea, they like send in a twisted or a, like a, just a funny picture that involves Twisted Tea, right? And one of my claims to fame when I was at Boston Beer Company is I'm actually on four of these back labels. And what's funny is they still circulate them. So I'll like see one or someone will text me a picture of me on the back label. But anyway, one of the four back labels was Halloween 2010, and I was Quint for Halloween, and I'll have to send you this picture.
Please.
And so what I do is it's me as Quint, like, and I thought I did a pretty good job That's as awesome. Him. And I'm crushing it like Quint, but instead of crushing a Narragansett, I'm crushing a Twisted Tea. So me as Quint crushing a Twisted Tea is on a Twisted Tea back label.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, so dude, I was doing all Jaws stuff forever.
Please like, send it to me. Oh my gosh.
I totally will.
That is so cool. Look, before you go, I have a quick question, two quick questions about Jaws that you could answer. One is, what is the drink that he's like, drink this, Chief, made it myself, pretty good stuff. Is that like moonshine or something?
Yeah, that's him making his own moonshine.
Oh, gross. And then who was the other, you know, like Quint's
don't
little
drink that.
Crony that's with him in the, don't drink
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he got cut out.
Who is that guy? Is that like his first mate?
He was just Quint's assistant, and I'm spacing out on his name right now. He's like,
oh, he has a name.
Yeah, if he's not a true little person, then he's really short, but he comes across as a little person.
Yeah.
And he initially had a bigger part in the movie. And if you see some of the cuts that they took out, you'll see him in it. Like, and one of the cuts that got taken out was him quitting. And he has this like spaz out at Quint, like, I can't take it anymore. And this isn't working. And he basically quits on Quint because he was supposed to be on the trip with them. And then, you know, Spielberg for time of the movie, because, you know, Jaws is over 2 hours. And that was a long time in 1975 for a movie. Now they're all over 2 hours. So that was one of the scenes that he cut out. So you actually only see him after that famous scene, you know, where he's, you know, you all know me, know what I do for a living. And when he walks out, he's like his little lackeys there with him.
Yeah.
He doesn't say anything. Yeah. He's like almost like his little pet walks out with him. But yeah, there was this whole scene of him like spazzing out and quitting.
And they filmed it. They just never.
You can find it. It's out there.
Wow. Thank you for answering that. My buddy Mike and I were like, what happened to his little like minion that was there? He was like following him, and you'd figured he'd go in the boat. But then we're like, it would be too crowded. And if they had like a fourth guy. So thank you for, I knew you would know.
Yeah, of course.
I knew you would know. but I just want to thank you so much, Gabe, for taking the time to come on the show, the podcast.
My pleasure. I always have fun.
It's always great to have you. Please, everybody, if you're in the New England area, check out the second annual New England Hot Sauce Fest, and you can still purchase tickets. And please go to Gabe's website, The Spicy Shark. So thank you again, Gabe. We will talk to you soon, and happy Shark Week, sir.
Happy Shark Week, and the code is Red One.
Red One.